This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome to another beautiful day in Bradford.
Yeah. Good morning.
Oh, what a day it is out there. Not going to be enjoyable for the garden today, I don't think.
Well, isn't it supposed to quit, though, here?
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see, yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
Weather people never know. They like to tell you they know, but they don't know. Mother Nature does what she wants.
That's true, yeah.
Well, welcome, Bob.
Well, thanks.
So you have a book in front of you today.
This is a book I bought many years ago about the history of gardening. And so I wanted to continue on about the bulbs that I talked about last week. I don't know if I covered, you know, most bulbs will grow in sun or part shade. So that's why you see a lot of people plant them right underneath trees, because they come up and bloom before your trees leaf back out. So that we call that part shade. Again, you know, bulbs are probably the easiest and cheapest and most rewarding perennial or plant you'll ever plant, because they are so forgiving. You basically, of course, the more you do, the better. But basically, you can dig a hole 4 to 6 inches deep, put the bulb down in the bottom, fill it back in with soil, and walk away. You're done for years and years and years.
You're telling me bulbs are Igor proof?
Yes, they're Igor proof.
Wow. All right.
Yep. So I wanted besides talking about the care of bulbs, talk a little bit about the history, because they have a very interesting history. and it goes way back to 1634, called Tulip Mania. Now, Europe had already fallen in love with the tulip, and the tulip comes from Turkey. That's where it originated from. But at that time, you know, they were planting lots of fabulous gardens. And the tulip just was a great one, because it's an early bloom. So Europe fell in love with it. And by the 17th century, the tulip was a prized exhibit in gardens of the wealthy, and especially in the Netherlands. And this is all about the Dutch. So the tulip became so desirable, and a few tulips, that they started trading them like we do on the stock market, to the point where you could plant one in the ground and people would buy that bulb without removing that bulb. They would buy that off you because they know they're going to multiply, you know, just like you do trading in the stock market. And some of the prices just kept going up and up and up to just amazing numbers. I'll give you one example here. One bulb transaction sold for loads of wheat, rye, 8 pigs, 12 sheep, barrels of wine, beer and butter, 1,000 pounds of cheese.
Oh, my goodness.
A complete bed suite and clothes and a silver beaker, all for a single tulip specimen that was sold for. Because at that time, you knew that...
I think somebody got ripped off.
Oh, no. At that time, they could sell for even more and more. And tulips were just so doggone easy to grow. You just planted it in the ground, and it came up every year, and it multiplied every year. So you knew that you were going to get your money back. Well, then all of a sudden, like any stock market, the bubble burst.
Mm.
And people stopped buying tulips like crazy, because...
Well, they're probably all over the place by then, right?
Pretty much, yeah. And people knew that if I had one bulb, that it would multiply, and soon I would have several. So the bubble burst, and a lot of people went broke, but the Dutch continued on with their tulips. You know, now they're the biggest grower on earth of tulips, and biggest seller of many bulbs, not just tulips. That's a little history of the tulip. The Dutch, so I have to continue a little bit here, because besides those spring blooming bulbs, you know, there are summer blooming bulbs like Stargazer Lily. The Dutch have a real different business practice than most of the rest of the world. They really work together. There was a man named Leslie Woodruff in America that developed and grew the Stargazer lily, probably the most popular lily outside the Easter lily on Earth. There are billions of them sold every year. He developed it, but he was a very poor businessman. He kept very poor records, and he left himself open to being kind of robbed. Other people bought that lily off him, started producing it, patented it, sold it to the Dutch, made lots of money. Leslie did not. The Dutch found out about that, and they developed kind of like a GoFundMe page over in the Netherlands, where they all agreed, all the businessmen, to put money in to Leslie and his family to make sure that they would have a paycheck the rest of their life, because they knew how important he was, even though he was such a poor businessman and could have made millions, but didn't, barely got by even. But the Dutch came to the rescue and made sure that he was taking care of the rest of his life and his wife and his kids. So that's my story of the tulips.
All right.
And bulbs.
Well, that's great. Hold on a second. I have a little something.
There you go.
After all, we come tiptoe through the tulips with me.
Ah, Tiny Tim.
Yeah. Yeah. What a weirdo. So, what can you be doing besides planting bulbs in the garden? You should be collecting the leaves and grass clippings as you're mowing the lawn or raking, and putting those right into your gardens. That's extremely important. That material is going to feed the life that's in the soil. It's called the rhizosphere. And of course, as that life feeds, it multiplies. And as it multiplies, it makes more food available for plants in the coming seasons coming up here. So it's real important that you start throwing all that in there. Act like it's just like you're mulching the garden. You've pulled everything out. You've tilled it if you wanted to. Then start just dumping in those leaves and grass clippings. You know, I may dump even 6 inches to a foot deep in there. And they will rot down through the winter. And, of course, feed all that life that's in the soil. It's is so important. And it's a good time to rid your lawn of some of those pesky weeds. All those weeds now that are left there are doing a process, what we call relocating their energy from their leaves down to their roots. So that now if you put a herbicide on, you are assured that that's going to get on the leaf. The leaf is going to immediately send it down to the roots and kill off that weed. A lot of other times through the spring and so on, it doesn't really do that. It absorbs a little bit, not enough to kill it off. It looks like it's dead. In a week or two, it comes back. But in the fall, it's a great time to apply that herbicide to get rid of those few weeds you got left there in your yard.
Few.
Yeah, few. Well, many maybe. And you know, if you do have a lot, it's not a big concern. A lot of things in gardening just take time. And to get a perfect lawn may take years. So just accept that. You know, you're not going to go out there and work in your lawn and think that it by next year it's going to be like a golf course, because it's just not going to happen. It takes time.
I hate those big fat leaves that have the little spikies on them.
Oh,
they're,
yeah.
They're sharp.
Yeah, okay.
And poor dogs step on them.
Yeah. Probably nettle, yeah. So also a good time to sample your soil, especially in your gardens. If your garden just didn't produce like you wanted it to, maybe it's time for a soil sample. And that can be purchased online or at the County Cooperative Extension Office in Smithport. It's only like $9. It's well worth it. They not only tell you what is in your soil, but what to do to make your soil better for any particular crop that you want to grow in there, whether it be flowers or vegetables or trees and shrubs or lawn. So
how do those work? Do you send away for that, or do you do it at home?
You can do it right at home. Yeah. You could stop by the Cooperative Extension and they'll give you a collection bag, or you can stop even at Graham's Greenhouse. I think they have some, the collection bag. It'll have directions on there how to sample the soil. You got to dig in there a little bit, 4 to 5 inches deep, and collect some of that soil, let it dry out, remove any sticks or leaves, any of that debris, put it in that bag, and then with a check or money order or whatever, you send it in.
So you do send it in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you do. You send it in. A lab will test it and make the proper analysis of it, and then tell you what you need to do, if you need to do anything. Very, very
good. That's helpful. Yeah, that's neat.
It's a very easy thing to do and a very, very good thing to do. I really highly recommend it. You don't have to do it every year. Every 2 or 3 years, maybe every 5 years, do that. And it's well worth it. A soil sample. It's a good time to sow grass, believe it or not. Grass is what we call a cold crop. It loves cold, damp weather. So that's why most of us will put down grass seed in the spring, because it's still cold and damp. But fall is a great time to, probably I prefer the fall for growing grass. And I'll give you a couple of ways of doing it. One way is you broadcast the seed if you've got decent soil and a real bald spot, and it should germinate. Not all of it. So if you want more to germinate, let's say only 50% or 20% germinate, still can be worth it. If you want more to germinate, have a better success, rake that area, kind of rough it up, maybe apply a little bit of soil as a top dressing, then apply the seed, then rake it again so the seed gets incorporated into that soil. Then you can cover it. Now, a lot of people like to cover it with straw. And that's a good way. That protects it from drying out or from birds and mice getting in there and feeding on it. Another way you can do it is just throw a tarp over it. Mm. Get it good and wet first. You broadcast the seed, rake it in, wet it real well. Then you can cover it with a tarp and leave that tarp on for 1 week. And then you can lift the tarp. And if you see growth, you can pull the tarp off. If you don't see growth, put the tarp back down. And this you don't need to use a clear tarp. You can use any tarp.
Like one of those blue tarps?
Yeah, one of those blue tarps works great. Put that down and keep lifting it every once in a while, every 5 days maybe I would. And once you see that grass is up an inch, then you can remove the tarp and you're on your way to a nice, successful growth. And in that way, you can get 80-90% germination. You'll never get 100% germination, but you'll get 80-90% germination that way. Now, don't sow the grass too thick. When you do broadcast that seed, there should be a little space between. If you do sow it real thick because you want a thicker lawn, what it will do is just crowd itself out. They all need their own little space, So don't sow it too thick, but don't sow it too light either. Sow it thick enough that you can still see the soil, but there's enough seed there that 80-90% will come up and become grass plants for you.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that tarp thing, because I was trying to figure out a way to grow back some grass that the chickens tore up.
Yeah.
Because I have chickens. And there's a lot of, bare spots and if I just throw, chickens, if you're going to throw straw down, they're just going to tear it right
up.
But
scratch it up. Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, a tarp. Yeah. Interesting. That's
tarp, old piece of carpet, piece of plastic, anything like that, just to throw over and probably weight it down so the wind won't blow it away. You'll be very successful. It's kind of like growing it in a greenhouse. The grass doesn't need light to germinate. So you're fine there. Even the blue plastic tarp or just a piece of it is fine to use for that first week or two. It does not need any light. After that, yeah. And when you do pull the tarp up, your grass may look a little yellowish. But when you do, after you've pulled it up, give it 1 week, and all of a sudden it'll be nice and dark green.
Ah, great, great idea. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back
okay.
with more tips from the Master Gardener, Bob Harris, on The Gardening Show, right here on B107.5 FM.
You know it's coming. That colder weather is on the way. Make sure you're ready with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. They're fully stocked with quality Allegheny wood pellets available by the bag or pallet, as well as bagged rice and nut coal. They also have a full line of stovepipe in stock, single wall in black and galvanized, plus B-vent double and triple wall. And now in stock, Empire natural gas heaters. Be prepared for the weather ahead. If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. And we're taking your live phone calls. If you have a question for Bob, please let us know. Give us a call. 814-368-WESB. That's 814-368-9372.
Back to the leaves in your lawn, if you have them, or just the cuttings. Because you'll notice, I did talk about grass as a cold crop, and you probably have noticed your grass is growing very rapidly now, just like it did in the spring, because it just enjoys this time of year. And your grass never goes dormant, by the way. It is an evergreen. It even grows through the winter. Not a whole lot, you know, not like now it can grow a quarter inch a day. Through the winter, it may only grow a quarter inch a month, but it still is growing through the winter. So you can collect those leaves by raking them or passing over them with the mower. If you have a collection system on your mower, that's even better. Because the more you cut up the leaves and grass clippings, the quicker they will compost down. And, of course, that means quicker they'll become part of your soil, feeding those microorganisms in the rhizosphere part of your soil, which is the top 4 inches there. So really keep that in mind, because it's highly, highly beneficial. And if you have more leaves than you need, then start a little compost pile. Leaves should be the beginning of all compost piles. I always start with a good thick layer, maybe a foot deep in the bottom of my compost pile. And then you can start throwing in the kitchen scraps or old soil that you don't need anymore. Empty those old potted plants right into there. That'll all benefit and become great compost to feed your soil and anywhere in your yard, in your gardens, in your lawn, anywhere that you feel you need it. So collect those clippings, rake them up, however you have to do it. You know, a lot of us have mulching mowers now, so that'll chop it up real fine. That's great stuff to put into the garden. If you don't have the mulching mower, then run over it a few times with your regular side discharge mower. They will chop up, maybe not totally, but enough to apply to the garden and to help that garden soil out a lot. So again, important that don't let those leaves go to waste. Use them.
All right. I mean, talking about compost.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about the pumpkins that people have.
Yeah.
Can you throw a pumpkin, like used pumpkins?
You betcha. They're great in the compost. Anything organic you can throw in there, except for don't throw meat or oils in mm-hmm. there, but anything organic, man. And the list just goes on and on, you know, all those vegetable scraps, when you're trimming, all the trimming scraps, old tea bags, especially if they're made of paper, the coffee and coffee filler, especially if it's paper. Coffee's a great one in the compost. You can add as much of it as you want. The list goes on and on and on. Just don't put bones or fat, anything fatty like meat or any oils, because that can cause some problems. They will compost down. They take much longer, but they can attract animals that we don't want, like the mice.
Okay. So no flesh, bones, or oil.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
And pasta. I'm sorry. Pasta.
Pasta? Okay.
Yeah. But just about everything else, you know, newspapers are a great one. I like to take my old newspapers, just rip them up in strips, throw them in. That's full of carbon. And that's where the whole composting process begins, with feeding on carbon. So I always put some newspapers in with my compost. Or old paper towels. Yeah.
Wow. Very cool. We have a phone call, Bob.
Oh, great.
If you'd like to take that, it's 814-368-9372. And we will go to you. Hi, good morning. You're on the Gardening Show.
Good morning. I got a couple things for Bob this morning. Going back a few weeks, you were talking about that weed that is good for poison ivy and stuff like that, that jewelweed.
Yes.
Hummingbirds love it.
Yes, they do.
And it's also real good for bee stings and mosquito bites.
Yes, it is.
It's excellent. I grow it out in my garden all the time.
Yep.
And as far as your composting, an old guy told me here some years ago, when you get a big pile of leaves, put them in layers, take brewer's yeast, mix it in a bucket of warm water, and you sprinkle that over the leaves and keep piling it up in 6, 8, 10-inch layers, and that'll eat that down in the wintertime into real good soil.
That's true. That is a fact. Yes, indeed.
Hey, I hope to hear you again next year. I hope I'm still here.
Okay, me too.
Well, you'll be here, but I don't know about me. Again, Bob.
You're welcome.
Have a great one. Thanks for the call.
Yep, right. Good call. Yeah, a lot of people have gone to that brewer. Yeah, the yeast. Brewer's yeast. Yeah, and it does act very quickly, but not all of us have that. So nature will compost it all down for you anyhow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a couple of things that I like to do. Compost is important, so that's why I'm kind of going on about it. I always keep one of those little coffee containers. You know, you get the Maxwell House coffee in those blue containers, plastic lid. When I got one empty, I put it underneath the sink, and we can throw our kitchen scraps and so on in that. So I don't have to carry it out every day. So about once a week, I got to carry it out. And if I don't feel like carrying it way to the backyard, I can set up a little garbage can right at the back door, drill or poke a few holes in it so it does get air, and toss your kitchen scraps right in there. That works as a great compost bin, too, and it makes it so that animals can't get into it to investigate also.
I was going to say, you know, wouldn't that kind of attract some mice and, you know, some other looky-loos? What's that smell?
Yeah, but if you keep the lid on it, you'll be fine. I've never had a problem with it.
Okay.
And I've been doing it for years. So a few hints there. Yeah, it's a good idea to start that compost pile. It's a good, real good idea to collect those leaves, especially out of your gutters and the evergreens. Don't let leaves collect in your evergreens and build up, because that blocks out the sunlight. Also, it makes a great home for some of those pest insects to overwinter very easily in your evergreens. And, of course, then the problem will become worse the next year. So clean out those evergreens. It's not real important to clean the leaves out of your flower beds and shrub beds, because they can harbor the beneficial insects that like to spend the winter right at the surface of the soil, even bumblebees. So it's become a high recommendation that don't... if you can, don't rake out your beds so clean that you have maybe taken away some of the winter homes for some of those beneficial insects.
Oh, okay. Good idea. We have a phone call here. Hi, good morning. You're on the air on the Gardening Show.
Good morning. When you're putting all these leaves, grass clippings into your garden, aren't you also throwing in a bunch of weed seeds and so on you're going to have to deal with in the spring?
Yeah, that's possible. If you've got a weedy lawn, yep, you are incorporating the weed seeds in there. Now, the way to keep away from doing that is you've got to mow your lawn on a regular basis, especially before those weeds flower and make seeds. If you always cut it at least once a week, you know, before those weeds flower and make seeds, you will not have any weed seeds that way, or you'll have very few, I should say. We'll never be to the point where we never have any weeds, but you'll have a lot fewer. So that's the safe way of doing it. Now, if you got a lot of them in flower, the weeds, and in your lawn, and they're producing seed, well, then don't put that right in your garden soil, but do put that in your compost bin, because as your compost heats up, it will destroy those weed seeds.
At this time of year, if you've been cutting regularly, then you shouldn't have a bunch of weed seeds.
Right, you shouldn't.
Okay.
And if you put it in the compost pile, like I said, the compost pile is going to heat up and destroy those weed seeds anyhow. Now, if you just throw it into your garden, yeah, you may be incorporating a few weeds in there.
Okay, that's what I've always been afraid to do, is throw it in there and create more weeds.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. So, yeah, great question. But, yeah, as long as they're not, you know, flowered,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, flowering and producing seed, then, yeah, throw it right in the garden.
Excellent. Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Have a great weekend. All right. Good point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep, and I'm sure a lot of people worry about that by just putting a bunch of weed seeds in their garden.
So just because you put pieces of weed in the garden,
that's fine.
That's not going to turn into a weed.
That's right.
You need the seed.
Yeah, you need the seed. Mm-hmm. Seed or the root.
Right,
you know,
okay.
And by mowing, you're not going to get roots. So, yeah, it's safe to put that right in your garden as long as you have kept up your mowing practices to the point where you don't let the weeds go to seed.
We have about 2 minutes left in the show.
2 minutes left?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do we talk about?
Well, we...
Also, a good time to do a little touch-up pruning.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Any of those shrubs that have gotten a long and lanky branch that's out of bounds, now's a good time to cut it off. And, of course, you can... even those branches, you know, you can cut them up into short pieces. I like to cut them up into 6-inch long pieces. You can incorporate that right into your compost also.
Oh, neat.
So, yeah, good time to do that. A good time to mulch. If you really want to mulch, it's a good time to do that now. That will protect that soil from the freeze-thaw method. Freezing really doesn't bother any of our plants and trees in this area. It's the process of freeze and then thaw that does. And that layer of mulch is going to put a protective blanket on there. So once the soil does freeze, it'll stay frozen until the spring. And that protects that that root system.
See, so many
plant.
People just think spring, time to mulch.
Yeah, yeah. Fall is really a highly recommended time to mulch.
That's okay, great. Because it's so weird because all the, you know, like Walmart say, you know, they don't have anything anymore.
Yeah.
In the spring, there's all, everybody has bags of mulch, right? So they make you buy it in the spring.
They
do. You always think of it in the spring, but not, you're saying right now is probably even better.
Yes, it is. A lot of us gardeners will prefer mulching in the fall. One other thing, too, besides a good practice mulching in the fall, if you didn't get it in the spring and you mulched in the summer, you'll notice the mulch can be quite hot because it's decomposing. And that can do some harm. You know, so if you are going to mulch in the summer, after you've applied the mulch, then take your hose and wet it all down to cool it so you don't end up burning roots. A lot of trees and shrubs and perennials have surface roots. They're right along the surface of the soil. They're looking for air, and that hot mulch can burn them. So if you do mulch in the summer, again, wet it down right after you're done mulching to protect those surface roots.
Very good. And with that, we are out of time for this week. We only have, what, two more episodes?
That's about it,
for this season. So, wow, time flies when you're having fun. So we'll be back next week right here on The Gardening Show on B107.5. And, of course, we're always on demand. You could hear any of the shows this season or previous at WESB.com. Thanks again for coming in, Bob.
You bet.
Have a great weekend.